Today, we want to talk about the Holy Ghost. Again, for the I don't know how many times now. I want to begin by reading just a little bit from a magazine that I received in 1990. I won't read much of it, but I just want to show you what's going on in the hearts of preachers who belong to and are officials in other denominations or organizations, not Pentecostal, not Pentecostal. Listen to this. This stirred my heart. This is a letter to their constituents. Dear fellow believer, we are living in momentous times. Marvelous changes in the political climate in a number of countries are providing opportunities for advancing the gospel on an unprecedented scale. We see everywhere God's providence opening the way for the finishing of the work. Well, my heart's already starting to beat faster. In addition to the evidence of the movings of God's hand in the affairs of the nations, the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in the natural, religious, social, and economic worlds reminds us that Jesus' coming is near. I love that. I love the sounds of his coming. They're getting louder and louder each day. As a church, we must be awake to the breakthroughs that God is granting us. We must carry the message of salvation through the doors that are opening. But unless we are directed by the Spirit of God, we won't see that the doors are opening. And they will surely close again if we do not respond. And unless we as a church are empowered by the Spirit of God, our witness to the world will be weak and ineffective. In either case, the loss to both the church and the world would be inestimable. I must confess that in spite of progress and victories in so many areas, I have become increasingly persuaded that something is lacking. We are not fully measuring up to God's glorious expectations for each of us and for his church. And then he talks about we need the Holy Ghost that they had in the book of Acts. I mean, I was stirred. I was thrilled. What's going to happen? I pray for that denomination. I pray that God will pour out the Holy Ghost upon them. His words, and unless we as a church, I don't think it's just their denomination or their church. I think it's unless we right here at Pentecostal Assembly as a church are empowered by the Spirit of God, our witness to Eau Claire and Wisconsin and America and the world will be weak and ineffective. Those people are hungry. I hope that we don't get set aside. I hope that we're hungry too and we want more of God. And we've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the gift of tongues and the difference between the two. And we've been talking about speaking in other tongues. And I want to say today that tongues play an exceedingly important role in having this power that this magazine was talking about. Tongues play an exceedingly important role in this power that the church needs. Tongues play an exceedingly important role in the power that you and I need as individuals. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But no wonder revival tarries today. No wonder the Holy Ghost isn't falling like it wants to fall worldwide. Tongues is so downgraded. Tongues is so de-emphasized. Tongues is so lightly esteemed, and tongues is even, when I say tongues, I mean speaking in tongues, is even rejected. And some go so far as to say tongues is of the devil. No wonder revival tarries. You know, tongues Speaking in tongues was born in adversity. Remember on the day of Pentecost when they watched all these people speaking in tongues, acting like they were drunken men? Remember what the crowd said, the unbelieving crowd? They said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter stood up and said, these are not drunken as ye suppose. They're drunk all right, but not as you suppose. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. There's a revival coming, and it's coming in the last days. And the last days began with the first coming of Jesus Christ. And it was formally announced on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood and quoted Joel and said, this is that. Brother, sister, you and I have that today. There's nothing else. There's no other Holy Ghost. You and I have that Holy Ghost that the prophet Joel prophesied of and that Peter said was there in that day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't want to downgrade or belittle or de-emphasize tongues. I don't even want to neglect it here at Pentecostal Assembly. I think it plays a mighty important role in the revival that this church experiences and will continue to experience. Amen. Tongues is not of the devil. It's of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. And some people worry that I'm afraid to speak in tongues. The devil might give me words. The Bible doesn't say anything about the devil giving you words. And don't worry about anything the Bible doesn't say. Hallelujah. Amen. Just run your doubts and fears through the scripture and come on out on the other side saying, hallelujah. Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Fill me with the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, was born in adversity. And it's always been controversial throughout the centuries, throughout the years. It's controversial today. I have shown you in past Sunday sermons and Bible study lessons here in the Sunday school adult class that certain denominations have denounced the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They have detached themselves from it. They've separated themselves from it. We don't want anything to do with it. And some go so far as to say it's of the devil. And I even read you some of those things. Look out, look out. You're going to get a spirit of the devil. I don't believe that because God didn't warn us about it. He didn't say when you seek the Holy Ghost, you might get a devil. In fact, he said, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. What do you think your heavenly Father's going to do? Less than that? He'll do more than that. Praise the Lord. He'll give us better things. He'll give us the Holy Ghost. He won't give us a scorpion for an egg and so on. Amen. After all, who was it that chose tongues? God himself chose tongues. Men today treat tongues like it's their choice. Like, well, you know, if I was going to give an evidence or a sign of the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't choose tongues. I'd sure pick something else, something that's more effective. Oh, they don't know how effective this tongues, speaking in tongues is. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you want to look at it, otherwise I'll just read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 25 to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. I love this passage of scripture because men say that when you speak in tongues, you're drunk. And men say that speaking in tongues is ridiculous. Men say that speaking in tongues is foolishness. Men say that that was given for a limited period of time in the days of the apostles, and when the apostles died, tongues died with it, which we know is foolishness. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Hallelujah. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. You can call tongues weak, and you can call tongues foolish. You can say that, but God has chosen it and he's confounding the world with it. The people that are so foolish to speak in tongues and the people that are so weak that are speaking in tongues today, they're stirring the world. Probably the fastest growing religions in the world are the tongue-speaking people. Amen. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Ah, tongues is despised by this world. They look at you condescendingly when they hear that you are one of those tongues talkers. And base things of the world, they call this base, and things which are despised, those things, the Bible says, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. Isn't that something when people get the Holy Ghost? When dignified people get the Holy Ghost, you know, in their brand new suits, and they look so nice, and their ties on straight, and the ladies come with their hair combed just right, you know, and they're dressed just right, and then they come to an old-fashioned altar. Oh, they stood in the mirror before they came to church. Remember, they stood in the mirror before they came to church, and they painted their eyes with that mascara so beautifully, and the eyelashes went up and down flipping, and everybody looks and goes up and down with them, you know. And some even have false eyelashes on to impress people, and then they have a little rouge and lipstick on maybe, and the hair is combed so nice, and they got these pieces holding the hair in certain places, and then they get under the conviction of the Holy Ghost of the Pentecostal church, and they come up to their altar and they kneel and they pray, and all of a sudden they're crying and their black streaks running down their faces. A little red is smeared all over their faces. They look like they ate a colored watermelon. You know? And here they are, and pretty soon they start shaking and trembling under the power of the Holy Ghost, and their hair falls all over, and oh, they look a mess. You know, no flesh is going to glory in the presence of God. Listen, when God gets a hold of your heart, He's going to shake you up. He's going to cause you to do a little dancing and a little running and a little rolling on the floor, because nobody impresses God with their looks. Nobody impresses God with their prestige. We need God to get a hold of our hearts. We need God to get a hold of us and shake us up. Praise God, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. How'd you like to bring your boss to church? How'd you like to bring your fellow associate or colleague to church, and then have them watch one of your children receive the Holy Ghost, or watch you receive the Holy Ghost? And the Bible says, for with stammering lips, you know, they look at you like something's wrong with you. No, that's Almighty God at work. God chose it. This is God's way, and I love it because it's God's way. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't trade it for all the gold in the world. Praise the Lord. Amen. I spoke in tongues when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of you spoke in tongues when you were filled with the Holy Ghost? Somebody said to me, I spoke in tongues when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that enough? Do I have to speak in tongues again and again? What is this speaking in tongues every day? I talked in tongues when I got the Holy Ghost. Isn't that enough? That's something like telling your wife you loved her when you got married. Isn't that enough? It's not quite that way, is it? Well, I praise God that you spoke in tongues when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because they spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2 when they got the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 10, in Acts chapter 19 when they got the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul spoke in tongues when he got the Holy Ghost, but he didn't say that was enough. He said, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. He didn't say, I thank God I spoke with tongues when I got the Holy Ghost more than you all. But I thank God I speak with tongues regularly, routinely, maybe daily, maybe hourly. I don't know, but I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Praise the Lord. So I think for the next few moments we ought to discuss the continued role of speaking with other tongues after the initial experience of receiving the Holy Ghost. Very important that we keep the lid off the well. Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:14, and said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. He wrote again to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:6, and said, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:18, he said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. His instructions to young Timothy were, stir up the gift that is in you and neglect not the gift that is in you. Oh, Timothy, I think he's saying, keep talking in tongues. But we have neglected tongues. Contrary to Scripture, we have let it lie dormant within us. We have not stirred it up like we should have. Stir up the gift that's in thee. Neglect not the gift that's in thee. Keep that thing moving and fresh, working, functioning in your life. Well, somebody asked me, why should I continue to speak in tongues? Why should I continue to speak in tongues? Mark 16:17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. And of course, one denomination comes along and answers that and says, yes, the Lord cleans up our speech. Well, I don't really believe that, because it says they'll cast out devils. That's supernatural. They'll speak with new tongues. I think that's supernatural. It's not just quitting swearing. A man could do that without being converted. People quit smoking without being converted. People quit drinking through AA and so on without being converted. We're talking about the supernatural power of the Spirit of God. And then the other things are, take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise the Lord. So there's nothing in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18 that indicates that these signs that were to follow the believer should happen only once for each believer. If you only speak in tongues when you receive the Holy Ghost and never speak in tongues again, that would be like casting out devils. You get one crack at it, you better get the big one, buddy. Follow me? You better get the big one, because this is the only chance you're going to have at it. If you only speak, are you following me? If you only speak in tongues once, initially, when you receive the Holy Ghost, and it's one of the signs that follow the believer, then you only have one chance at casting out a devil, and the second serpent's going to get you. And after you've been spared food poisoning by drinking any deadly thing, you only have one chance. And then you better pray for the sickest among us, because they'll lay hands on the sick, and you only got one chance at it. That is foolishness. We cast out devils whenever necessary and take up serpents whenever we're building a fire or adding wood to the fire and the serpent fastens itself to you. You shake it off in the fire like Paul did in the book of Acts. Amen. And we continue to lay hands on the sick and see people healed. Praise the Lord. Thank God we can be healed more than once. How many have been healed more than once? Oh, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord that He's able to heal us and that He has healed us. And we don't understand everything about all these subjects, but we do know that these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, you are believers here today. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Excuse me. Now, you are believers, and these signs are to follow us. How many of you have prayed for your children when they were sick, and God has touched them? Sure. You bet. Keep praying, because God's got some more. These things are supposed to follow us. Sister Valerie Demas was just here Friday night. I remember years ago when she was with a college group, and they had gotten off the big bus and went into the restaurant to eat, and every one of them that ate at that restaurant got food poisoning except Valerie Teamy. That was her maiden name. She was the only one that didn't do it. That was in fulfillment of Mark chapter 16, where Jesus said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. So, let's let God use us supernaturally. Let's let God use us supernaturally. How many of us have ever been in trouble And we have cried, Jesus! 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 How many of you are just ready to have an accident with your automobile? And you cried, Jesus. I was in a car, 1939 Plymouth one time, driving from San Antonio, Texas to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I was in the back seat sleeping, and the other fellow was driving. It was his car. I was going up to be best man in his wedding. He came in a situation like the children of Israel were at the Red Sea. I mean, it was the mountains on this side and before them, and it was the Red Sea over here, and it was the hoofbeats of Pharaoh's approaching army behind them, and they had nowhere to go. Remember that in the Bible? Remember the miracle God did through Moses? Stretch forth your rod. He stretched it over the sea, and the waters parted, and they went over on dry land. Hallelujah. Well, this fellow, I figured I was a better driver than he was. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do, and that's I was sleeping. But I know, I mean, with my driving ability, I could have made it through, you know, probably with just losing half the car. But here, we were in a situation where we were going to lose the whole car and our lives. This is the story he told me afterwards. Well, I got out the car afterwards, after this little situation, and noticed that the hubcaps were off his car. They'd just flown in all directions. But anyway, I'll tell you what he did. I'll tell you how he handled this difficult situation, this certain accident. Jesus! He let go of the steering wheel, threw his hands in the air, and cried, Jesus. And we ended up without a dent or a scratch on the car, but the hubcaps had flown off. I don't know what happened. I know I woke up. Something wrong with calling on the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we're in trouble, we can look for these signs to follow them that believe. A snake is about to bite you or did bite you. Look for these signs to follow them that believe. Somebody's sick. Now, I'm not talking about the elders of the church and the pastor. These signs shall follow them that believe. We need these things happening in our own homes, in our own lives. Praise the Lord. God has all these things for us. Amen. And I personally think that speaking in tongues ought to be a way of life for every Pentecostal.
That's right.
Let me say that again. I believe that speaking in tongues ought to be a way of life for all Pentecostals. Amen. Opponents of the baptism of the Holy Ghost love to quote 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19. Quote, in the church, Paul said, I had rather speak five words with my understanding. Now, the emphasis is on their interpretation, not mine. Understand what I'm saying? My emphasis is on their interpretation, their attitude toward this. Their attitude is, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding than that by my voice might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Do you think that was the Apostle Paul's attitude when he wrote that?
No.
I think the anointing of the Holy Ghost would lift if he had that attitude. No. Paul said in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if anybody wants to turn there, we'll just go through there and look at a few things here. Does the Bible say anything about uninterpreted tongues? They always say, oh, you be quiet in church unless there's an interpreter there. It's like the fellow that came to this church, and when we all stood and prayed, he quit the church. He'd already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he quit the church because everybody was praying at once. He didn't know his Bible. All he knew was that Jesus said, I guess he just got a few chapters into Matthew and never read Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and so on. He never read the rest of it. He never read the book of Acts, especially chapter 4, where they had the prayer meeting, and the place was shaken where they prayed. They were probably all praying at once, and they lifted up their voice to God in one accord, the Bible says, and said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant us signs. Signs and wonders in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Hallelujah. These signs shall follow them that believe. And the apostles knew that. They looked for those signs and they prayed for those signs. Let's be actively seeking and desiring these signs to follow us. Oh, don't come under the influence of dead denominationalism. Or we're going to lose the power of God in our services. The more of that we lose, the more of our holiness we're going to lose. The more holiness we're going to lose, the God's smile will turn to a frown upon us. And the next thing you know, we're going to have a church sign out here. It'll say, Ichabod. That means the glory of the Lord hath departed. That can happen. When we stop talking in tongues, we're on the road to Ichabod. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so, the man heard us praying congregationally, and he couldn't make a distinction between praying in your closet and praying congregationally. Keep reading, folks. Keep reading until you have better understanding. And so people, they read 1 Corinthians 14. They can't make the distinction between tongues with an interpreter and tongues without an interpreter. So let's talk for just a few minutes about uninterpreted tongues. Does the Bible have anything to say about uninterpreted tongues? You better believe it does. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mystery. Mysteries. What would be wrong with us speaking in tongues without an interpretation when we're speaking to God and not unto men? And when we're speaking mysteries in the spirit, we need to speak in tongues. Amen. And the more, the better. Brilliant. Too many Pentecostals have put speaking in tongues on the shelf. It's not included in their spiritual worship. It's not included in their spiritual life. And I will come back to that in just a few moments. That's verse 2. Verse 4, I'm talking about uninterpreted tongues now. What does the Bible say? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. I haven't met a Christian yet that didn't need personal edification. We need to speak in tongues because we need edifying, whether it's interpreted or not. When we stand to pray, when we stand to worship, when we come to this altar, pre-service prayer, or after the preaching, in the evening service, morning service, whenever, we need to come to this altar and practice speaking in other tongues. Maybe we'll stay here more than 5, 6, or 7 minutes when the Spirit of God starts taking control of our tongues and our spirits, and we begin to speak in other tongues. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. That's when the whole church receives edification through prophecy. And if you speak in tongues and it is interpreted, the whole church receives the same edification, equalizing those two gifts. Tongues and interpretation is just as good as prophecy, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But when you speak in tongues without an interpreter, not to disrupt the service, but during the worship times or the prayer times, you are edifying yourself. You're getting stronger. You came to church without a testimony. We stood and prayed, and all of a sudden you spoke in tongues. Now you're ready to testify. Hallelujah! Because your spirit's praying. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. Uninterpreted tongues. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, if I would read it with the emphasis that opponents of the baptism of the Holy Ghost read it with, I'd say, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. They got this bad attitude toward speaking in other tongues, and I don't want it to touch me. Amen. Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well when you're speaking in tongues. Nobody knew what you said, but Paul said you gave thanks well. Well, if you want to give thanks well, speak in tongues. The Bible says you give thanks well when you speak in tongues. And then I have a good one. The last verse of chapter 14. Let all things be done decently and in order. I had a man complain to me one time, and he said, Pastor, it's confusion, it's chaos in your church. You need to let all things be done decently in order. I said, well, the problem with your church is you don't let all things be done. We got to let all things be done. But if they forbid to speak with tongues and they don't allow the practice of the gifts of the Spirit, they're not letting all things be done. The Bible says, let all things be done. Paul wasn't speaking against anything that was done. He was just teaching them how to do it. In order. Let all things be done decently and in order. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are some other things that tongues are good for. Listen to this in Acts chapter 2. Now, you know this is not the gift of the tongues because you're only supposed to give a message in tongues using the gift of the Spirit one at a time and that by course and let one interpret and don't go beyond two or three. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were talking in tongues all at one time. Hallelujah. Sure they were. Sure they were. And then the onlooker said, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. I've heard people say that they brought a tape recorder and they interpreted Pentecostals or charismatics speaking in tongues. They took it home and put it on the bench, you know, and they analyzed it. They ran it through the test tube and they analyzed it, you know, and they came out saying they were cursing God. And they try to scare, but that doesn't scare me at all. The Bible says when you speak in tongues, you're speaking the wonderful works of God. They have a faulty interpretation method. That's their problem. Amen. And God can confuse them anyway if that's what they want. In Acts chapter 10 at the household of Cornelius, the Bible says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So when you speak in tongues and receive the Holy Ghost and continue to speak in tongues, you speak the wonderful works of God and you magnify God. I've been in meetings, my wife and I have sat there, and we had somebody with us who just burst out in tongues, and a man from another nation came running over, and he stood there, and he listened. He lifted his hands and began to worship God, and he said, oh, she's speaking the wonderful works of God. She's magnifying God. Listen, I believe in this thing with all my heart. Amen. Now, what I have read to you in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, 4, 14, 17, 40, Acts 2, 11, and Acts 10, 46, what we read there is the value that God puts on speaking in tongues. No matter what man says, this is the value that Almighty God puts on speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord. What about 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 14? If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Excuse me. And they have found fault with that. Everybody shout hallelujah while I... Thank you. I've heard this verse attacked. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, let me tell you something. That's true. Absolutely true. That's the holy word of God. But let me explain something to us. We are already altogether too intellectual anyway. Amen. And it's about time that our spirit prays and our intellects go to rest. Our overactive intellects need to be put to rest and let the Spirit pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're altogether too intellectual anyway. What we need most is to be more spiritual, not more intellectual. Amen. Paul didn't reject tongues because it bypassed his intellect. No, he didn't. He said in the next verse, what is it then? 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding also. And I will sing with the Spirit. And I'll sing with the understanding also. Saints, we haven't arrived yet. We do not have all that God has for His church. Let's not rest on history. Let's not rest on the compliments people give us. Let's not rest on our laurels. No, we have not arrived. I think there's room for more prayer meetings and more tears at this altar and more crying out to God for more supernatural power manifest in His church. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Paul said, what is it then? I'm going to pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. I'm going to sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding. God has so much more for us that He wants us to experience for our good. Yes. Have you ever heard a whole congregation, while worshiping God, begin to sing in other tongues? My wife and I have. And I'll tell you, all you can do is stand or fall on the floor, sit down and weep. When the harmonizing voices of a multitude of baptized in the Holy Ghost people begin to pray with their spirits, and they just bypass their intellects, and all of a sudden it doesn't matter who's sitting by me or behind me or standing in front of me. I just gotta worship God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then while we're there worshiping the Lord, all of a sudden, the whole church goes into singing in tongues. And these, it was just so beautiful, 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 beautiful. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Okay, now, even so, Paul says, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Don't we need to pray more in the Spirit? Don't we need to pray more in the Spirit? No wonder God wants to bypass our overactive intellects. Amen. We know so much about the things of man and so little about the things of God in comparison. No wonder God is calling us to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. We are absolutely dependent on the Spirit of God if we're going to know anything about God. Amen. This book right here, the Holy Bible, came not in old time by the will of man, by the intellect. God said, I'm going to bypass your intellect when this book is written. I wish I had a 50,000 word vocabulary and a golden tongue so I could tell you what's on my heart right now. God bypassed the intellect and He fell on them with the Holy Ghost. And the scripture says this Bible didn't come in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God bypassed their intellects. That's why we have a controversy today over evolution versus creation. Evolution is a product of the intellect, and creation is a product of the Spirit of God. How else could a man who wasn't made yet tell what happened on day one of creation, day two, three, four, five, six of creation, when he wasn't even created yet? It took the power of the Holy Ghost, not the power of the intellect. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, that's why we have this controversy over creation and evolution. Evolution is the wisdom of man. Creation is the wisdom of God. And that's why we have another controversy, conflict in this world today, and that is philosophy versus salvation. Philosophy versus salvation. You know what the world is trying to do through social services. They're trying to rehabilitate man. They're trying to cause him to change his ways. And so they tear down the ghetto, put new buildings up, say, surely this will solve the problem. They put the same unregenerated men back into the building, and a week later, all the windows are knocked out again. The carpets are rotten again. The doors are hanging off the hinges again. That's because that's the intellect at work, not the Holy Ghost at work. That's what I like about the Apostle Paul. He said, go ahead with all your philosophy. Go ahead, try to rehabilitate man. Go ahead. But he stood up and said, as for me, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of what I preach, because it's got the power to change a man. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, saints, talk in tongues. Oh, saints, talk in tongues. Oh, saints of the living God, talk in tongues. It may be our only chance to escape or survive the ever-failing wisdom of man. Because you're bypassing it. Amen. You ever read Daniel? The book of Daniel, 7th chapter, verse 25, talks about the opponent of the church. It says that his tactic will be to wear out the saints of the Most High. You look in your Strong's Concordance. I forgot the exact number right now, but you look in your Strong's Concordance in that Hebrew word, wear out. It says they're used in a mental sense only. The enemy is working on your brain. He's working on your mind constantly. He is vying for control of your mind. And Satan is trying to destroy his people through our minds, through our intellects. So I say, saints of God, talk in tongues. Look at the devil and talk in tongues at him. Look at the world and talk in tongues. Bypass Satan. Bypass Satan. Bypass Satan. Talk in tongues. Hallelujah. God gave it to his church. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to my God. Oh Lord, may we speak the wonderful words of God. May we magnify the Lord through speaking another tongue, Lord, as we activate that which you have given us. Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, that you have not left your church, your children, your little lambs, Lord, in a world full of wolves and false prophets, oh God, without supernatural power. But you have empowered us with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you in Jesus' name. And you have given us the joy of the Holy Ghost, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I thank you for this joy unspeakable and full of glory that you have given me. Hallelujah, 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 in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.